Welcome to the Sandler Training Hour, where every week we get together and discuss some of the Sandler rules that tickle our fancy, as it were. And this week, Jim, what's our rule?
Now, the rule is never look in your prospect's pocket.
This is specific to sales situations where we can maybe negotiate on behalf of the prospect.
Yeah, it's so funny because, or maybe it's tragic. The first discount is always in your brain if you're
Right.
in sales. And the concept of mind reading or looking in your prospect's wallet is really. It actually harkens back to a very effective negotiating gambit called anchoring the price.
Okay.
And most people know this. If you've ever bought or sold anything, you've had this experience where the buyer says, I can only spend X dollars. And the gambit there is that if I anchor the price at something that is a number I want to live with, I'll give myself permission to spend. The seller will work hard to meet that number.
Yeah.
And that typically happens.
Yeah, and I can see how that plays out too. I know that from my experience, whenever it comes to pricing something, it's always better to hear the other person's number than to give something. Like when you're, for instance, if you're a prospect, it's much easier to try and get the other person to give you a number because then they're essentially doing what you're talking about. They're laying the ground rules, and you don't know what mental gymnastics they're going through, like whether they're negotiating on your behalf and assuming that there's a certain price you're capable of paying and maybe a certain price that you're not.
And I think all of us in sales, we want to succeed. We want to sell. We know that our careers depend on people agreeing to buy from us.
Yeah, a lot
So
of
we
times
want to
that.
please people, and pleasing people can result in you making that initial discount in your mind to buy the business when in actuality, what you think is a competitive price, it can end up costing you money because you allowed yourself to be programmed or anchored into a lower price point.
Yeah, and like you said, salespeople want to close sales, and a lot of times their focus may not be on the bottom line or the margin that they're making, but rather the actual close itself. I'm
Yeah.
sure people who are new to sales have been in the situation where they got a lecture after closing something because they cut the margin out of the bottom for everyone else because they discounted too much. And sometimes, like this rule says, discounting really occurs in your mind, and when you're making a lot of assumptions based on who's in front of you, you can maybe try to make the price more agreeable to them, which oftentimes is translated to discounting. And the problem is, if you start with a discount, what do you discount to?
And oftentimes, depending on how sophisticated the business is, if you're listening to this and you're fairly new in business, you may be in the process of trying to figure out what is profitable. And when will I know what my market price should be? And I think one of the misnomers that most business people face is they have the illusion in their mind that the marketplace sets the price, and their job is to compete with the price set by the marketplace. But I think what most people don't realize is the ver large variety and iterations of options that are available. Take the hospitality industry. You can stay at a Motel 6 or a Ritz-Carlton. You're going to get a bed, you're going to get a TV, you're probably going to get free wireless, right? You get the same basic commodity, but the range of experience is vastly different, as is the price. And even in a common business where, let's say, you're in a home services industries or you're selling business to consumer, and you have your price points set by what you think the public will spend, that's not going to help you grow your business. Your price needs to be set by what it requires for you to be profitable.
And like you're saying, there's a difference between the experiences that you're paying for. And a lot of times when you're talking to prospects, they may not recognize it, or at least they may want you to set your price relative to your competitors. And so they might bring up arguments or pitfalls for you, like, well, this is the bid that I got somewhere else. And the industries that you're talking about, three bid industries, can often run into this issue where they're negotiating to try and win bids and going by the lowest price and hoping that people close on them. And the problem is you end up commodifying yourself. You end up doing the legwork for the prospect in front of you. And rather than holding tight to the price that you know leads to a successful business venture, you end up creating losses and then filling the gap with more losses to try
And
and break even.
yeah, and you may not even recognize that it was a loss until much later. After the project's been said and done, and you're doing a job cost analysis of it, and you realize, holy cow, I didn't have the margin I thought I had in that to begin with. So really, I think this rule, while it is true, starts with a calling, really, to make sure you've got a clear understanding of what is included in direct costs. And what is the margin required? What markup is required to hit your gross profit margin target? And if you don't know that, that's a great place to start with really taking your business from owner operator to really the beyond the entrepreneur to a thriving business.
So often entrepreneurs exist because they do the work and they do good work, and they figured that in some ways they may not be employable for one reason or another, or they simply don't like working for someone else. But being an entrepreneur and working on your own doesn't mean that you're profitable unless you've done the mental legwork to figure out what the gap is between what you're selling, how much you need to make to break even, and then what profit looks like. And at the end of the day, that is the golden zone that you want to hit. You want to be profitable and be working.
Agreed. And another aspect of this rule, never look in your prospect's pocket, is don't judge a book by its cover. Don't assume you know what someone's going to be willing to spend their time or money on. I have a client who's in, where were you? You were Boca Raton. He was in an adjoining town. I don't remember what the town was, but a very, very affluent area. And he sold Ferraris. And he told me the story of one day that one of the new kind of a farmer shows up in bib overalls to buy a vehicle. And none of the new salespeople were interested in giving him the time of day. This person went right up to him, forged a relationship, and it turns out the guy pays cash for a $250,000 vehicle. He didn't look the part of somebody who could afford to pay cash for a $250,000 vehicle. And that judgment on behalf of an amateur salesperson costs the sale. So don't think just because you wouldn't buy it, they can't buy it. I think being aware that how we buy does influence how other people sell or how we sell other people, let's not go in with these assumptions and biases.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point to end on, that the biases you bring to any sort of conversation or the authority you give to anyone you're talking to is authority you give. It's not authority that they by nature have. And so watch your assumptions when you go into conversations, because you can likely sabotage yourself by making, or you can likely make a fool of yourself.
That's
And no one really wants to do that.
a... Absolutely right. Never look in your prospect's pocket.
Have a good week.